Picture this. You're on downwind abeam the numbers. Altitude right where it belongs. Engine running smooth. Everything normal. And I ask you a simple question. If that engine quit right now, could you make the runway? Not, could you find a field somewhere? Not, could you set up something survivable in a parking lot? Could you make that runway from exactly where you're sitting with no engine? That question is why the Power Off 180 exists. I am Pattern. This is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we are walking through one of the most underappreciated maneuvers on the private pilot check ride, and I want to reframe the way you think about it. Because most students learn this maneuver as a box to check before the oral. What it actually is the foundation of every emergency energy decision you will ever make. Let me give a quick shout out before we get into it. Our friends at aviationsoul.com make challenge coins for every step of the aviation journey. First solo, private instrument, commercial. If you are grinding through training right now and you are close to a milestone, they have got something worth having. aviationsoul.com. Okay, let us talk energy. Here's the concept underneath all of this. An airplane at altitude is carrying potential energy. When you pull the throttle to idle, that energy becomes your entire budget. You trade altitude for distance. The Power Off 180 is a structured exercise in spending that budget wisely, and the reason we repeat it until it is automatic is that when you need it for real, you will not have time to think through the math. You need the picture already built. On a standard Power Off 180 for the private pilot check ride, the scenario looks like this. You are flying a normal traffic pattern to the point where you are abeam your intended touchdown target. That is usually the landing threshold or the first 1,000 feet of the runway. You are on downwind. At pattern altitude, typically somewhere between 800 and 1,000 feet above the ground. And then your examiner says something like simulated engine failure or simply pulls the throttle to idle. From that moment, no power, no going around, just you and physics. The airman certification standards for the private pilot certificate are specific. You need to touch down at or beyond your intended landing point. You need to demonstrate a controlled arrival. And your touchdown needs to be within 200 feet of the point you called. That 200-foot window is not a gift. It is a standard. It rewards the student who has built a real picture and punishes the student who is guessing. So how do you build that picture? Start with the setup, because the setup matters as much as the execution. Your downwind position relative to the runway determines how much room you have on base. Too close in and you will overshoot. Too far out and you will be short. Most training airports have a standard pattern width. Your instructor will tell you what that looks like at your field. Know it cold. The Power Off 180 is not a maneuver you can rescue with good footwork on final. It lives or dies in how you entered the downwind. Altitude on downwind should be pattern altitude. For a lot of training airports, that is 800 or 1,000 feet above ground level. Know your specific procedure. This altitude is your energy balance. Protect it until the moment you are abeam the numbers. Do not start descending early. Do not try to set up a power reduction before you reach the trigger point. You need every foot of that altitude working for you. Abeam the numbers is your trigger. Not slightly past. Not early because you feel like you should start maneuvering. Abeam means the runway numbers are directly off the wing at your 3 o'clock or 9 o'clock. That is when you bring the throttle to idle. From here you have one job, arrive at the threshold with enough energy to flare and touch down in your window. Here is where a lot of students get into trouble. The moment the throttle goes to idle, the instinct is to turn straight for the runway. Do not do it. Not yet. Your first move is to establish best glide speed. In a Cessna 172, that is 68 knots. In a Piper Cherokee, it is 73 knots. Different aircraft have different numbers. Know yours before you need it. Best glide maximizes your glide ratio, which means it maximizes your options. A typical trainer flying at best glide has roughly a 9-to-1 ratio. 9 feet forward for every foot of altitude lost, at 1,000 feet above ground, that is close to 2 statute miles of horizontal range. You have more runway than you think. Do not try to stretch the glide by slowing down below best glide. That is one of the most dangerous instincts in aviation. Slow below best glide and you are trading lift for nothing. You are increasing your sink rate and burning your altitude faster. Fly the number. Let the airplane do what the engineers designed it to do. After you establish best glide, continue your modified downwind just a little past abeam. You are watching the runway threshold over your shoulder. The visual you are building is an angle. When the threshold is roughly 45 degrees behind you, that is close to your base turn initiation point for most standard pattern altitudes. But I want to be honest with you, that 45-degree rule is a starting point, not a formula. The actual base turn happens based on your real altitude and how the energy picture is developing right now. Every approach is slightly different. Your scan on base leg is constant. You are watching the threshold. Is it rising in your windshield? You're going to overshoot and you're high. Is it sinking? You're going to be short. Is it staying roughly stable? You are on a good glide path. Pilots who do this well are not memorizing a sequence. They are reading the picture in real time and making small corrections. Now, let us talk about flaps, because students get themselves into trouble here pretty consistently. The instinct when you hear the word emergency is to put the flaps in. It feels like you're preparing the aircraft. But flaps early, especially at altitude, increase drag and steepen your descent. They spend energy, if you're not yet sure. The runway is made, hold the flaps. Fly clean or at the first notch and assess your energy picture first. Once you are confident the runway is made, use flaps to control your descent. Think of flaps as your altitude dump when you have energy to burn. They are a tool, not a reflex. The rule most instructors use is this: do not add full flaps until you're established on final and the runway is made. Then use them freely to control your touchdown point. The approach path on a power-off 180 will often be steeper than what students are used to. A normal-powered approach is a shallow, comfortable angle. A no-power approach tends to be steeper. That difference in sight picture catches a lot of students off guard the first few times. It feels like something is wrong. It is not. The airplane is not going to quit flying. You have a runway in front of you. Trust the training. Get comfortable with the steeper picture. Here is something I wish someone had said to me when I was first learning this. The power-off 180 is not a fixed-path maneuver with a memorized sequence. It is a continuous energy assessment. From the moment the throttle goes to idle, you are asking yourself one question over and over: am I high or low? And based on that answer, you are adjusting. Turn base a little early if you're high. Extend downwind a few seconds if you're low. Use flaps or a forward slip if you have energy to burn. Reconfigure your touchdown point if you're coming up short. Every variable adjusts. What never changes is the question. The forward slip, by the way, is one of the most useful tools you have in this maneuver. If you're high on final and you need to dump altitude quickly without adding airspeed, a slip is your friend. Crossed controls, steeper descent, controlled. Your instructor should be drilling this alongside the power-off 180. They are two parts of the same skill set. What the examiner is watching for is not just whether you hit the 200-foot window. They are watching how you think. Are you making deliberate decisions? Are you flying the right airspeed? Are you aware of your energy state at every point on the approach? Are you looking at the runway and not burying your head in the panel? Are you reconfiguring with purpose? Airmanship is the word that covers all of that. The landing is the result. The airmanship is the test. Let me connect this back to where we started. If your engine quits for real on downwind during a normal flight, you have already practiced exactly this scenario. The power-off 180 is not theory. It is a rehearsal. The pilot who has done 50 of these and built a solid internalized picture has a fundamentally different chance of a good outcome than the pilot who did the minimum required repetitions and moved on to the next thing. Off-airport forced landings are survivable. But pilot-induced accidents that happen during attempts to return to the runway from low altitude are often not. The power-off 180 specifically trains you to know from pattern altitude whether the runway is yours. If you have altitude and position, make the runway. If you do not know it early and pick your alternate landing area, that decision lives in the same mental model this maneuver builds. Use every normal traffic pattern you fly as a power-off 180 drill. Every time you're beam the numbers, ask yourself, if it quit right now, do I have the runway over time? That question becomes automatic. You will start to notice when your downwind is too tight or too wide. You will notice when you enter it at the wrong altitude. You will become a pilot who reads the energy picture without thinking about it. And that is exactly what you want to be. A few practical takeaways. Know your best glide speed the way you know your own phone number. Not approximately. Exactly. Get to best glide immediately when the throttle goes to idle. Do not spend time looking for it. Hold flaps until the runway is made, then use them deliberately. Use the forward slip if you're high on final. Talk through the maneuver with your instructor before you fly it. Get the brief, know the abort criteria and the alternate field, and be honest about your picture. If the runway is not made, adjust your touchdown point early. 200 feet of margin is usable. Do not sacrifice it chasing a precise spot. The Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge and the Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards both cover glide performance and emergency landing procedures in detail. Worth reading before your next session? You can find more at radiohangar.com. Work this maneuver until it feels quiet. When you can do it consistently, without drama landing inside your 200-foot window, you are ready for the check ride. More importantly, you are ready for the day. It is not a simulation. Take care of yourselves up there.